Ace Podcast.
10, 9, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
And hello, dear listener. Welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone, the podcast that brings you the best in strange stories, weird news, and funny stuff. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios just outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
I thought you were writing a letter. You said, dear listener.
Dear listener, I miss you so much. How are you, Craig, sitting across from me?
I am good.
Are you really?
I'm well, as some people. You're supposed to say well, but I don't like saying well. I like
well,
say
we're
good.
From the South. We could say
I'm good.
I'm doing real good.
You doing good?
How's your mom and dad?
I can get those kind of pretentious people go, I am well.
Yeah. It sounds so
I am well.
Proper. Hello, sir. Do you have some Grey Poupon?
No.
Hey, guess what?
No, hey.
I printed off some of our reviews. I want to read what our listeners are saying.
Oh, no. I don't know. Did you edit it for
I did
family
not.
Friendly?
I did not. The first one I printed off, and let's alternate. I got four of them, so. First one's fantastically funny, 5 stars.
And we didn't say we believe these.
Actually, I do.
Okay, well.
And this is Frog Polish.
Just because you wrote this?
I did not. I'm not Frog Polish.
Oh.
This podcast is funny, interesting, and goofy. You can't disagree.
You can't disagree. We're goofy.
Where else can you hear about drunk knife-wielding monkeys, creepy clowns, and a camel that kills?
Creepy clowns.
And all that was just from one episode, I believe.
Yeah,
this podcast has it all and more. And the hosts are hilarious.
Well, that part I can't argue with.
Thank you so much, Frog Polish. That was awfully nice of you.
Yeah, Frog Polish.
What do you got?
I got one from Bubble Man.
Who's Bubble Man?
It
sounds like a great superhero.
Actually, I think I know who left this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, but the Bubble Man has I have a history with Bubble Man.
Nice.
Sassy.
Yeah.
Smart comedy.
Yeah.
If you like jam and cheese, this is the sandwich for you. I hear they're big in the Philippines.
Title is Where Has This Been All My Life by Little Smoochie.
Oh.
These guys are great. It's a nonstop laugh fest. They didn't say anything about us not speaking properly. I'm a fan. Don't miss this one.
The last one.
Yeah.
Don't stop recording these.
Got it. Don't stop.
From Gubzilla.
Gubzilla.
Yeah. These guys are hysterical. My roommates and I won't stop laughing.
Y'all stop laughing.
Very good dynamic between each other.
Listen here,
please keep it up.
Gubzilla, you need to crack those books a little bit. Stop laughing. Stop laughing.
Stop laughing.
Stop laughing.
Stop laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
anyway,
those
thank
were the
you.
Four last listeners we had, and they just dropped off after listening to that.
Thank you for those reviews. And please, if you haven't left us a review, try to get over to iTunes and drop us 5 stars if you want and write us a nice review.
Drop us 1 star.
That's the just review us. That's the best way you can
help
the show.
The fact that you tried really means a lot, right?
But we got news to cover. I mean, we've got a stack.
Let's get to the top story.
You got it? You got top story tonight?
I got it. Top story.
Oh, real quick, you might have noticed that's a little toned down a little bit. I want to apologize to John, who left
John.
Us a message and said he loves the podcast, but hey, he listens on earbuds, and that tops this.
Top story.
Has been blasting him.
And so. I have been telling you repeatedly.
It's my fault, John. So
I've been saying, for the record, so my conscious?
Yeah.
My conscience is clear.
Is your conscience?
And I'm unconscious while my conscience is clear. That I've been telling you that's way too loud.
Okay, take it anyway. Here you go, Craig.
Top story. He will not divide
us.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a quote. He will not divide us.
Okay, hang on. Before you get started with the story, I got a little something I want to play in the background.
He will not divide us. He will not divide
Can
us.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and read.
Live stream placed in the middle of nowhere, but 4chan still found a way to troll it.
I love it when the internet comes together and
oh,
does
yeah.
the
internet,
impossible.
Internet delivers. A good rule of the internet is to never tell 4chan something is impossible. The anachronistic message board has had a field day in the past few months trolling Shia LaBeouf's He Will Not Divide Us live stream.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Is it LaBeouf or LaBeouf?
I call him Shia LaBeouf, but it's Shia LaBeouf.
How about
but
we
call him
Shia
LaBeouf?
How do we call him
You know, he was great on Even Stevens.
Why don't we call him a few bricks shy of a load? How's that work? Elevator didn't go to the top?
Yeah.
The lights are on, but nobody's home?
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, so Shia LaBeouf, or whatever he said, has this live stream called He Will Not Divide Us. The stream was set up to protest Trump and encourage resistors, I guess they call them.
Ooh, they're making radios.
To stand, yeah. Well, without them, you couldn't have a radio.
That's right.
To stand in front of the camera and chant eponymous mantra.
This is what they're chanting right here. That's him. That's actually Shia LaBeouf leading them.
They sound like they're drugged out zombies. Pretty soon, four chanters arrived on the scene and began yelling pro-Trump slogans and trolling LaBeouf. So hard that he lashed out and got arrested.
Yeah, he beat up a guy.
The stream had to be moved from a museum in Queens to Albuquerque, New Mexico, following an escalation of white supremacist activity.
Yes.
Then gunshots drove the stream out of Albuquerque. The stream was finally... What?
People are shooting at the camera.
I know. The stream was finally moved to an undisclosed location by LaBeouf. And the two other artists. Ronco and Turner.
Ronco and Turner, that was a great movie.
There was a movie with Tom Hanks and the dog.
Yeah.
Who intended to stay there for the duration of the Trump's presidency. The stream was pointed upwards to the sky to a flag that said, "He will not divide us." The claim that the flag would stay there for the duration was taken as a challenge by the folks at 4chan. They were given a seemingly insurmountable task to play the greatest game of capture the flag ever played.
I love it.
No clues tipped them to the location, but somehow with the power of determination and youthful unemployment, I like that line.
Yeah, youth
they
unemployment.
They found it and they trolled it hard.
Okay, let's stop for a second because I wanted to say that. Now, this is a story from a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But we've had so many good stories that we've just had to back this thing up.
Right.
The thing is,
are we going to keep listening to them the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Until this story's over. He thought he had the perfect plan. He was going to put it in this field. It was in Tennessee. He was going to put it in this field and point the camera up. So go ahead and read.
Yeah, so he's a wise guy. And he finally, after having all these problems, he thinks he'll just hide it somewhere in a cornfield and have a camera with cell service or something shooting, okay. Okay, ready?
Yeah, yeah.
The search began, this is for the flag, on March 8th and was immediately narrowed when LaBeouf was spotted on social media at a diner in Greenville, Tennessee. Although some in the thread still believe the flag was in the Great Lakes area due to wind patterns. These guys don't have jobs, but they know wind patterns.
Man.
The time of the sunset in Greenville matched with the time of the sunset on the stream, and so did the weather on local weather reports.
They said, "I see your flag, and we raise you science."
Right, science. 4chaners began looking into flight patterns.
They saw the plane.
Because it's pointing up at the air.
Yes.
One of the few clues available on the stream were the contrails left by airplanes.
Ooh, we talked about those last episode.
Greenville was finally confirmed as the location after two planes observed on online flight radars intersected over the town, X marks the spot, and were seen on the stream. Finally, when three planes flew over the area, 4chaners were able to triangulate and approximate location of the flag. This area was too large to search, unfortunately. The 4chaners began looking to the stars using ancient astronomy to help map the direction of the camera and pinpoint more precise locations.
These guys are my heroes. Not because they attacked Shia LaBeouf, but the fact that they figured out...
The fact you call him Shia LaBeouf is funny enough.
They figured out, and that's not my original. I just picked that up. But,
okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, they also sent a guy out in his truck to honk his horn around Greenville to see if he could hear it on the live stream
to
mark the location.
More, yes.
Okay. The trail led to a field on private property next to some poor soul's house. Tennessee-based 4chaners were standing by to capture the flag. After scoping out the area for hours, they finally made a move. The anonymous group stole the He Will Not Divide Us flag and replaced it with a Trump Make America Great Again hat and Pepe the Frog t-shirt. Who's Pepe the Frog?
He is what they've been trolling him with on his camera.
The flagpole was left barren on the stream all morning until LaBeouf and company finally turned the stream completely off in utter defeat. The tale of the He Will Not Divide Us live stream is probably not over, but this saga marks another stunning defeat for LaBeouf. It shows 4chan will follow him to the ends of the earth for a good laugh and he inevitably will be the butt of the joke. The flag now rests in the home of one of the greatest anonymous 4chan's ever known.
Isn't that awesome? I love that story.
Like the greatest anons.
And the funniest thing to me was seeing the flag slowly come down and just the hat
honestly,
go up.
If I could improve on their vision any, it would be that there was a little less time between the flag going down and the hat coming up.
Yeah. Oh, really? You
think
so?
It just seemed like it took a little bit too much time to hook a hat onto the thing.
Yeah. They should have been a little bit faster, but it was funny to
but
me.
But who am I to make any judgment calls on these geniuses?
Okay, we're going from a scientific discovery with the thing there to a scientific proof. That headline is, the more chores a husband does, the more likely the marriage will end in divorce.
That explains why we're both married still. I mean, not to each
it's
other.
It's science.
Yeah, to our wives.
This is our scientific episode.
Could you imagine if somebody just listened for the first time and I said, that's why we're still married?
No,
and
we're
thought,
not married. Yes.
No, not us.
Not
it
together.
To the wives.
I'm married to
Lori. We're married at the same time.
We were, closely.
Well, I mean, we're married now, currently.
We are currently
concurrently
married.
Concurrently married.
Yes.
Simultaneously married.
I think I got it.
You think?
Couples may be better off living in a traditional household where women do all the housework if they want to stay together, according to a report from the Oslo and Akershus University College of Applied Science.
Do you think the writer of this went into hiding after saying that? After that
maybe.
After that first paragraph?
Norwegian researchers were interested to see how married and cohabitating men and women divided housework and childcare throughout various life stages. They analyzed two separate studies involving nearly 20,000 men and women aged 18 to 79. That's
wow.
That's a large bunch of people.
That's a big window.
The study of life course generation and gender and the study of the Norwegian life course aging and generations. Participants respectively answered questions about the division of housework and childcare, their attitudes toward gender equality.
Gender equality? We all know the genders are not equal.
As well as other variables like life stage and social class. The results showed 65% of couples equally or near equally divided childcare, but not housework. Women reported doing all or almost all of the work in 11% of the couples and somewhat more of the work in 60% of the couples. About 25% of the couples divided the work more equally with younger couples, childless couples, and couples where the women had a full-time job among those more likely to split
domestic chores.
Okay, so here's...
Is the story still going?
It is, but let's just break it down.
Uh-huh.
What they're saying is traditional households where the women do more of the work at home, but the men do more of the work outside of the home, stay together longer.
Outside of the home.
You sound like Kermit. But so this is not a surprising study.
Read the quote, the next paragraph down.
You cut me off. You said this.
I know, but I want
okay.
that first line.
The more a man does in home, the higher the divorce rate.
So from here on out,
you can't do anything. You can't do that because
my wife would say that I don't do anything anymore.
My wife says that often. Actually,
you fixed the toilet, right?
I did.
Okay,
yeah,
so that happened.
So anyway, scientific kinda.
You know, when we have this many stories, it's really hard to flip the pages.
Oh yeah,
we've got you. Yeah. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Let the real life Hunger Games begin.
Oh, it's an update.
Oh.
Hear that?
That's nice.
Yeah, listen.
It's a two middle-aged dudes update.
I hired that guy.
He's nice. Is he cheap labor?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
A glamorous swimming coach, a Russian actress, and a professional blonde?
I don't know.
The Arctic are among the contestants taking part in a controversial real-life Hunger Games-style TV show.
You know that professional blonde? That reminds me of like a Paris Hilton or something, I guess. Maybe it's...
Professional blonde.
Maybe it's the Russian...
Could be the Kardashians if they were
something
blonde.
Something like that. Yeah,
blonde.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Don't really have any other thing to do but just show up.
Yeah.
The organizers of the reality program filmed on a remote Siberian island said they will not intervene to stop violent crimes, including murder, as the series got the go-ahead to start in July. Now, we talked about this.
We did. That's why it's an update.
Well, I know that. I'm saying, but we talked about this, and you actually were kicked off the show for murdering somebody.
Yeah, I did, and it was terrible, but I cannot
wait. Well, he got better.
You know, I love Survivor. I love Alone.
Yeah, they had a good Eye of the Tiger.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about this one.
All ready?
I may have to subscribe to something to see it, but...
To what? Just anything?
Yeah, subscribe, yeah.
Contestants armed with only knives will have to fight bears, wolves, and endure vicious gnats during a 9-month hell on the Ob River. It was announced today. Temperatures will range between plus 35 Celsius in the summer and minus 50 Celsius in winter, while potential gamers from a Secret Service man to an estate agent.
I think that's a real estate agent, I guess.
I guess, will have only a single set of cold weather clothes to survive the intense frost.
Wow.
The Anything Goes show will be filmed on 2,000 fixed cameras.
Yes.
That's a lot of cameras.
That is.
And broadcast live 24/7 on the web in various languages, including English.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Organizers admitted today that they will not intervene to stop violent crimes, including murder, but stress participants will be liable to the full force of the Russian law for criminal offenses. I feel like I'm just telling the whole story again.
You are.
Where's
so let's
the update
wrap it up.
Part?
The update part is that it has been cleared. Beforehand,
that's
the guy,
not much of an update.
The guy had just pitched it, but I wanted to read it because I'm fired up, and I will be reporting on the show
on
our podcast.
Well, I'm so glad that I got to reread that story. Thanks.
Well, you did it very well.
I feel like I should get to do the next story then.
If you want to, you're welcome to.
I think I will.
Would you just go right ahead?
I don't need permission.
You go ahead.
Cop pulls over, Google self-driving car.
Uh-oh.
Finds no driver to ticket.
What would you do?
No driver, no ticket.
That's exactly right.
That, at least, was the result when a police officer pulled over one of Google's self-driving cars Thursday in Mountain View, California. The car wasn't speeding. On the contrary, it was driving too slowly, 24
yep.
miles per hour in a 35 miles per hour zone.
Well, that's not too
according
slow.
To the Mountain View Police Department, with traffic apparently backing up behind it.
I wonder if it's going to explain to us how the car pulled over. If there's nobody driving it.
Let's go back to our story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As the officer approached the slow-moving car, he realized it was a Google autonomous vehicle, a police department post said. Well, why did the post say it? Why couldn't somebody there at the police department tell them? They got talking post.
They do.
They got driverless cars and talking post.
And they have a guy that used to be a man as a tricycle.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Which is to say that no one was driving the darn thing. There was, however, a passenger.
Oh.
So the officer asked the passenger how the car was choosing speeds along certain roadways. He also took the opportunity to inform the passenger about 22400 of the California Vehicle Code. You know 22400.
That sounds like Australian time.
Which related to impeding traffic, a section of the law the self-driving car may have been unfamiliar with. Well, how about this, Mr. Officer?
Yeah.
Take it up with Google.
Yeah, and I've got audio on this I'd like to check out. This is compliments of CNN.
It's a milestone for driverless cars. For the first time ever, a Google
autonomous
vehicle
was pulled over by
police. Oh, I guess it is a milestone.
Milestone.
It happened Thursday in Google's hometown of Mountain View, California. The car was going 24 in a 35-mile-an-hour
zone. You know,
that
doesn't seem too slow to me.
Was backing up behind it.
Not really.
The only problem was, since there was no driver,
you're right. How did it know to pull over?
That's a good question.
There was, however, a passenger who spoke with
the driver. Oh, he probably got next to it and went, beep, bop, boop, beep, boop, bop, boop.
The passenger speaks
for safety reasons.
Googlese,
yes.
Google's still bragging that its record of 1.2 million miles of autonomous driving without a ticket remains intact. This comes
as Ford
announced it's testing a driverless car, too. In fact, the company built a whole town in Ann Arbor, Michigan to test out its car.
I don't know. I want to know
the
how
M City features storefronts, traffic.
Yeah.
Google has to spend all their time coming up with these cars
no
and taking their time.
GM
and Tesla gets to throw anything out there with a sensor and say it's
yeah.
driverless.
Technology.
So that was interesting. Thank you, CNN. Okay. Oh, we got a Harvard scientist speaking out about something. Great.
Oh, then it must be legitimate.
Headline is, mysterious energy flashes, maybe aliens firing up an interstellar spacecraft. Harvard scientists say. That means more than one.
It could be a plural. Meteorite, a star.
Hold
forming.
On to your lightsabers and brace yourself for hyperspace. A team from Harvard University suspects mysterious energy flashes detected in the galaxies far, far away may be caused by a species of super advanced aliens firing up their interstellar spacecraft. Man, reminds
Do
me
you
of,
just get to say whatever you want if you're at Harvard?
Yes, yes. Harvard. You mispronounced it.
Harvard.
It's Harvard. And it is a scientific development that, if true, would make Star Wars more akin to an historical documentary than a nonsensical bit of sci-fi movie making. The scientist at the respected Harvard Smithsonian Center for
formerly respected.
Yeah, astrophysics have come up with what they believe is a possible explanation for the existence of fast radio bursts, or FRBs as we know them.
Yeah, the FRBs.
Yeah, were discovered a decade ago. FRBs are intense radio pulses that last no more than milliseconds. How do we know they're even telling us the truth then? That emanate from remote galaxies billions of light years away.
I think they've had too many radio pulses entering their brain.
They were first detected in 2007 by the world's largest radio telescopes. But 10 years on, astrophysicists remain no clearer about what produced them.
You know, my refrigerator kicks on in the house, and
does it
sounds like it. Well, everybody's does, if it's working. and it sounds like it's coming from another room. It just, it, you know, so sound like travels weird.
Sure.
Depending on your house.
Yeah. But what about the FRBs? Well, what's that got to do? Your refrigerator doesn't produce FRBs.
My point is, though, how do we know the FRBs aren't just some sound that's bouncing off of a rock hitting another rock in space? I know there's no sound in space.
Craig,
I get all that.
You're not a scientist. Okay.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, you're more of a scientist than Bill Nye.
Right.
But still.
We need a Bill Nye theme, you know, where we just bash Bill Nye with a meteor rock.
Yes.
Ooh, that escalated quickly.
Ooh, okay, from the Hey Y'all Watch This department.
Oh, that never ends well.
This comes from Brisbane, Australia, mate. An Australian teen who was attacked by a crocodile after jumping into a crocodile-infested river on a dare was recovering from serious wounds to his arms.
He's lucky he had an arm.
That's what happens when you jump into crocodile-infested waters.
Yeah, we learned not to do that.
Lita Paul,
of course, the zookeeper told us not to come back.
An 18-year-old from Queensland State was at a hospital in the northern Queensland town of Innisfail? Around
pronunciation
2:30 a.m. on Sunday.
Not to be confused with 0030, which was a couple hours before.
That's right, when he started bragging that he could swim in the river.
I watch this, mate. Home my bee.
An unknown habitat for aggressive saltwater crocodiles.
Wait a minute.
What?
What crocodiles and alligators and such aren't aggressive?
Said Sophie Peterson, a British.
She said what I just said? That's
a British
weird.
Backpacker who was at the hostel.
Wait. Now we're getting quotes from backpackers and
sure.
hostels? Okay.
She and several others egged him on, Craig. She said, get on in there. Though none of them thought he'd actually get in the water. But get in the water he did, and seconds later, a crocodile latched onto him.
Well, good.
It's all
no,
happened.
I didn't mean that, actually. I was trying to add drama.
I'm in the middle of a quote here, okay?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it all
happened. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, it all happened very fast. Pretty much as soon as he jumped in, they were splashing and screaming, Peterson told Queensland's
Patterson?
Courier.
Peterson.
Courier and Mail newspaper. There was blood everywhere, and he just wouldn't stop screaming.
He ripped off his jocks.
DePaul managed to pull himself out of the water with his good arm. Queensland paramedic Neil Noble said the teen suffered extensive injuries to his arm and lucky to escape. There you go again.
That was more drama.
Was lucky to escape from the crocodile before the animal drowned him.
Overstated indifference.
Yes. So crocodiles have been a protected species in Australia since the 1970s. Did you know that? Why are they protecting them? They make great handbags.
We've talked about this.
Maybe that's why they're protecting them.
Well, we've talked about this before.
Yes.
It's snakes.
Oh.
Snakes have more rights than you do.
That's crazy.
We've got rattlesnakes that are being protected here in Tennessee. Is there a shortage of rattlesnakes?
No.
And
what
not.
If there were? I wish there were a shortage
of them. I wish there were, too.
So this protected species thing has led to an explosion in their population.
Whoa. Combustion?
Uh-uh.
Something exploded?
No.
You said it led to an explosion.
It led to an explosion in their population across the country's north tropical.
Oh, wow. I heard this next story.
Did you really?
I heard it actually today.
What department is this from?
Today. This is actually fun. Do you have audio on this one?
I don't.
This is the one you needed the audio
on. I don't.
Footballer. This is football as in
soccer.
Soccer.
Yes.
Was this in Africa? Where was this? I forget. Where does it say it was?
Ghana.
It was in Ghana.
Yeah.
Ghana. I'm sorry. I remembered he had an accent. I couldn't remember where he was.
Footballer. Soccer player.
Yeah, soccer player. Accidentally thanks his wife and his girlfriend in an incredible man of the match speech. Guyanian, is that the way you would say that?
Yeah, I think.
Footballer, Mohamed Anas, made a hilarious blunder.
hilarious to us.
Yeah. In what's being called the greatest man of the match speech of all time. He earned the award after putting in a stellar performance for his Free State Stars team in their 2-2 draw with Ajax Cape Town on Friday evening. After bagging the Man of the Match award with a standout 2-goal display, Anas began his obligatory post-match...
I don't think that's how you pronounce his name.
I'm not going to pronounce it the way you want me to. His obligatory post-match interview with a revealing slip of the tongue. "Firstly, I'd like to thank my fans," he began, "and my wife and my girlfriend."
Now, see, if he'd have been smart, he would have backed up and said, "Because my wife
is
will
my
always be
my
girlfriend."
He stumbled for a second before realizing his blunder, quickly clarifying he intended to thank his wife. "I'm so sorry to my wife," he exclaimed. "I love you so much from my heart. Please don't divorce me." I added that part.
"I'll do more chores.
Thanks for supporting me. There is more to come," he stuttered before an interview came to an end.
How funny.
He is probably sleeping in the back of a car tonight or something.
Yes.
But I don't know, those guys make the money they make here. The athletes down there make the money they make here.
I have no idea. I don't know. Probably.
If they make good money, he's probably got a hotel.
Hey, guess what we got now? So we've already discussed that we're both married to women.
Yes, we are.
Do you buy perfume for your wife? Do you ever buy her perfume as a gift?
She's not a big perfume person. She, you know, we get, you know.
See, Lori loves perfume. That's what
don't talk about her.
It makes Christmas easy. Birthdays makes real easy. you know, for gifts and not. But this is, I think this may be a perfume that, that she's not real interested in.
Are you willing to try?
Yeah, I'll try it.
Okay.
Okay. Headline is, Kitten Fur Perfume is here. For cat lovers everywhere, few scents are as intoxicating and comforting as when you bury your nose in a kitten's fur. Something Demita Fragrance Library totally gets. As their
I've never once had anybody say, hey, smell this kitten.
As their latest to perhaps oddest addition, the perfumery has officially recreated the scent of kitten fur.
For me at home, it'd be like, does he smell weird?
And put it in a bottle for your olfactory pleasure. Released on Saturday, Kitten Fur is a scent 15 years in the making, Craig. It's been in the lab 15 years.
Well, they had to grind up a lot of cats.
It purportedly captures the olfactory essence of the warmth and comfort of that perfect spot just behind the kitten's neck. As Mashable points
out...
But
wait, now we've narrowed it down to behind the kitten's neck.
Yeah, it's getting closer. As Mashable points out, the fragrance comes in a variety of forms, including everything from classic cologne to body lotion, shower gel.
This is weird.
I want to smell it. I've got a curiosity about it.
Apparently, according to these people, you just have to go find a kitten and sniff its neck.
In case kitten fur just isn't your thing, Demeter Fragrance Library offers a plethora of other options. You're going to enjoy some of these.
They're both peculiar and pleasant.
They are. The Demeter Fragrance Library consists of over 300 different fragrances inspired by everyday objects and experience. Why didn't we think of this? We could have been rich.
I know. Now I'm starting to think that it's not so crazy that they're actually, this is kind of...
In short, we are the olfactory version of stopping to smell the roses. Along with your typical array of perfume notes, some of their more popular scents include New Baby, Dirt, and Paperback.
Okay, I can actually see this in like a mall store.
Yes.
And I kind of get the gimmick thing now.
I love the smell of the paperback as much as the next guy.
But I thought that it was like a serious, like you go to the perfume counter or something. This sounds like it's weird.
It kind of sounds like a novelty.
Yeah, novelty. Yeah. Weird internet catalog kind of thing. I don't know. Either way, I've never smelled the back of a cat's neck.
You ain't lived, brother.
You know, after that story, just start the top 10.
This is a good one. This is a good list.
This is going to be good.
But before you get started, I got a little background audio I'm going to play while you're reading it. Don't let it distract you now.
I'll try not to. 10 thrilling facts about Michael Jackson.
Yes, I love Michael Jackson.
Number 10.
I'm a big fan.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Number 10. He personally leaked some of the more bizarre stories about himself. He is known to have leaked several stories about himself to the press to ensure he continued to receive column inches in the world's papers. In the papers. When he wasn't actively making music.
Number 9. He wrote all of his songs with his voice because he couldn't read or write music and he never learned to play an instrument.
Wow. And number 8.
Yeah.
He was an actual king.
King Jackson.
Yes. The nation, a small kingdom in the Ivory Coast called Sanwi.
Yeah.
Crowned Jackson King, an official title he had to sign papers to confirm, and even allowed him to sit in a golden throne set aside for royalty.
Wow. Okay, number 7, he earns more money dead than we will alive.
That would be hard to do.
Being recognized as the highest earning dead celebrity, earning close to $1 billion in 2016, more than 7 years after his death.
And what's sad is he was in such debt before he died, and now he makes more money, he could pay it off. Number 6, his death broke Google.
No way.
Wow. Just think about that.
I'm glad they got it fixed.
According to stats released by Google themselves, minutes after news of the singer's death had broken, so many millions of people tried to search his name that it brought the monolithic website to its knees.
Number 5, people scalped his tickets that didn't exist yet for hundreds on eBay.
Wow.
And the reason being is they gave out pre-tickets. In other words, you had to sign up to be able to get on the list to even be able to buy tickets.
So you were paying to get on the list to maybe get a ticket.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. Number 4, danced the moonwalk so hard, Fred Astaire called to congratulate him.
This was when, you remember the very first time you ever saw the moonwalk? I forgot what award show it was.
Grammys.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was the Grammys. Sitting at home watching the show was an 84-year-old Fred Astaire who, upon seeing Jackson glide across the stage, picked up his phone and called him to gush over how amazing it was. And it was. It was
incredible.
That is probably to this day the best example.
You remember going to school the next day and everybody's walking down the hall backwards
thinking they were moonwalking?
I don't
really remember that.
Number 3 is something I've known for a long time. The glove was to hide a skin condition. He had like eczema on his hand. Very embarrassed by it.
It wasn't the other problem. It was eczema also.
Yep.
Oh, weird. Number 2, he composed an unknown amount of the soundtrack for Sonic 3, the video game.
Yeah.
And I actually want to say that might have... You okay, Michael? I just want to say that I think maybe that was a legend. I'm not sure if that's real or not.
No, this is from Top Ten.
I had read about that, but then I'm not sure if it was. He never took credit for it.
He did not take credit for it. He is
just get to number one.
Uncredited. Number one, he promised to write a number one single for Bart Simpson. During his time with the Simpson staff, Jackson explained to Matt Groening that Bart was his favorite character and that he wanted to write a troublesome 10-year-old number one hit.
I was going to say he was going to invite Bart over for the weekend just to hang out and watch cartoons.
Groening laughed, assuming Jackson was joking, but he wasn't.
He wasn't joking.
He wasn't joking at all.
Wow, that brings us to the end of another one, huh?
I guess you want me to stop Michael now.
I think Michael could be quiet now.
Okay, before we leave, I would like to let everybody know that we have a new URL, a new web address.
Yeah, we do.
And we're no longer... I guess we're still at twodudes.stream.
We're twodudes.stream, but we're also now weirdnewspodcast.com.
That's much easier.
Much easier. Because
it's a .com and it's a weird news podcast.
As long as you know how to spell weird.
Yeah, because some people, sometimes they'll put the old
I before the E.
Yeah, except after Z. Or
what?
Something like that.
You need to go back to school.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please take time to rate and review in your favorite podcast app. This is the best way you can support our show. Visit our website for show notes, downloads, or even leave us a comment. Our new web address is weirdnewspodcast.com. Find us on Facebook at Middle Aged Dudes and on Twitter at 2Madam. That's the number 2, M-A-D-A-A-M. Or you can send us a voicemail at area code 629-888-2896. Or you can simply click the button on our website or Facebook page. Please have your computer mic ready before you click the button. Send us an email at middleagedudes@gmail.com. New episodes of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone are available every Monday and every Friday. Please subscribe so you won't miss any of the weirdness.